All right, my guest is James Gilliland, and he has seen UFO after UFO after UFO, just about every type you can imagine. He is in contact with, in quotes, them. Now, there are a lot of people who are very skeptical about all of this. What makes James, in my mind, different from so many others is that he has invited person after person after person, trained people, trained observers, people of science, to his ranch. They've seen these things, no question about it. Are they easy to photograph? No. But we have witness after witness after witness who will come on the air and say, yes, I saw these craft when I was up at that ranch. Now, that means something. I don't know what, but it certainly does mean something. Back to James in a moment. Once again, James Gilliland. James, welcome back. On making your own personal contact. How would you recommend? All but a skeptic. A skeptic is never going to make the transformation. But for the rest of everybody out there, if they want to give this a try, what do they do?
You know, I think it'd be awesome, Art, to do one of your experiments. I know you hate those. But, you know, if the whole collective consciousness just focused a very loving, joyous thought out there, and put the call out that, you know, we do want to make contact. We do want help with our planet, you know, to help clean up the environment and to bring these new technologies in. And if they put pressure somehow on the government to stop shooting at them and create a peaceful avenue of exchange, we'd have some pretty amazing things happen here on the planet.
Well, let's ask you this. If we had an original deal with them, in other words, take some citizens, do your experiments, share the technology with us, where did all that go down the tubes? If that's no longer the deal, we're not getting the technology, and they're no longer taking people, and we're certainly not getting reports of abductions to speak of, then where did the deal go wrong?
Well, from my understanding, I'm not an expert in the abduction end of it you know, the Black Project and all the hidden bases and everything that's going on, but I'm aware of them, and they do exist. But obviously there was some kind of a skirmish. I've heard quite a few stories about it from very high officials, and I guess there was they took a lot more than was expected, and the experiments were going, you know, a little beyond what they expected, and so I guess there was some kind of a disagreement and a major breaking away of that deal. Like, you know, with me, I don't, you know, I always say just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, or just because you're an alien doesn't mean you're enlightened, and it's important to realize this, that, you know, not all aliens really came here with our highest and best good in mind. And but that whole arena is being phased out right now. And the ones that are coming in now are the ones that have pretty much put a stop to that. So it's time now to start, you know, keep your discernment, but let's start greeting these beings in peace and, you know, see what they have to offer.
So you're convinced, you began the program by saying so, that a disclosure is going to come from the sky, that suddenly these sightings, even though they're increasing right now, will what, go exponentially higher?
Yes, you know, it's our destiny to join the rest of the universe in peace, and some of these beings I'm talking to are intently spiritual. They're very, very spiritual, and they talk about God, but they don't talk about the God that most of us believe in. They talk about more of a frequency, a force, a divine intelligence that's nameless. And they said that those energies are pressing hard on the earth right now. And this evolutionary process, or this quantum leap in evolution that we're going through, they're a part of that. They're part of the beings that are orchestrating, helping to orchestrate this event and get us through these times.
What they actually have not done anything yet that I'm aware of. I mean, you can't really point to anything and say, well, all right, they cleaned this up, or they stopped that, or they, other than perhaps toying with our nuclear facilities as well as the Russians. I don't think you can point to anything they've done just yet, can you?
Well, in Chernobyl, there's a lot of engineers that they interviewed there in Chernobyl, and they said that there was a ship that came over Chernobyl, and their, the Geiger counters were just going off the scale, and this thing sent two or three beams down into the reactor, and then their Geiger counters dropped significantly. And so something intervened there in Chernobyl, and it wasn't as disastrous as it could have been.
Where did you get that news?
Now, I've got that from, I can dig that up for me, but it was sent to me by an investigator that went there, and he interviewed some of the scientists there that were working on it.
And because that would be exactly what I just asked for. That would be proof of intervention. Did they get photographs or anything significant?
You know, I don't know. All I know is that the guy interviewed, you know, he took names and he interviewed the people down there, and he interviewed some of the main scientists that were there on site. And I'm sure you could probably Google it and find it, or I could dig it up again.
Okay, all right.
And bring it up.
That certainly would qualify as an intervention of sorts. A lot of people are worried about Chernobyl and whether the whether it's actually going to hold. I think there are a lot of predictions it will not. And you're saying they actually stepped in and killed some radiation.
Yeah, I mean, they can do that. They can render radiation inert and do all kinds of things. But the problem is that we have to gain the wisdom from our experiences. And until we learn to stop playing with this nonsense. And, you know, there's other fuelless technologies. We don't even need these reactors. We don't even need oil right now. And it's been around for quite some time. And I've actually held this in my hand. I know these things.
Held what in your hand?
Well, a device that is about as big as a small pipe pan that has 9 coils, and each coil puts out 25,000 watts, and it's ice cold when it runs. But the physicist that created it had his lab burned, his family threatened, and it's on the shelf right now. But there's quite a few coming out. I mean, just basically splitting water, you know, and the hydrogen, burning the hydrogen and oxygen is those. Those technologies are going to come out in force right now. It seems like almost everybody's inventing those. It's a pretty simple
technology. You know, it's very interesting that you would mention that, James. Earlier today, I was talking to a 767 pilot, whose name I will not mention.
Mm-hmm.
But he told me that there's a man in the Philippines that's quite well known, and there are others around the planet right now that are actually running automobiles on water. There's some new type of electrolysis process.
Yeah.
Separating the hydrogen extremely efficiently and then running cars on water. And I know that sounds like, well, I don't know what it sounds like. Sounds crazy. But,
well, you know, it's on demand right now. They have it set up so it runs on your car, splits the water on demand. And that technology has been around for a while, but it's been suppressed, you know, like the other technologies. You know, even the electric cars. If you put one of these other devices on an electric car, you could drive the wheels off it. But, you know, if we want to get a little more unlimited, you don't even need wheels because these devices, when you rev them up, they become counter-gravity. And so,
but, James, I don't get it. If somebody really has something like this, even if they have a car that will run on water, what am I saying, even? Mm-hmm. If they've got something of that sort, why not? I'm accessible. Why not come to me and say, all right, here it is, a car that runs on water. And I would look into it, or I'd get somebody even more knowledgeable to look into it. And if it was real, I'd be blasting the word all over the planet. And I'm not the only one. They could go to any number of sources,
mm-hmm.
60 Minutes, any of the big programs, and say, here it is. Here's a car that runs on water.
Yeah.
And that's a big story, James.
Well, you know, Gene Maloff, I think he, you know, was going to testify before Congress about all these new technologies, and they found him bludgeoned to death in his home right before he could do it. So there's a lot of people out there that there's one or two ways it goes. Either they buy it and shelve it, and you know, you never hear about from these people again, or they get two options. You know, they disappear and their families disappear with them. So those are the two options right now. And you know, we really don't have any legislation or anybody that's going to watch over these people or provide the security necessary to get these technologies out. That's the main problem.
When you get communication from them, James, in what form does it come? I mean, is this completely mental? You just get thoughts in your head, or what?
We used to have to go into kind of a meditative state and calm my mind, and I rise up. It's more of an emotion, and you focus on, like, love and joy and bliss, and you start merging with that energy, and then a communication starts coming. You have to rise to their frequency, and they will drop down a little bit. And so you kind of meet them halfway. And it's thought to thought is what it is. And the interesting thing is that when they give me the information, we'll be out there with the cameras, and they're saying we're coming at 9 o'clock, and right at 9 o'clock, they're there, and the cameras are rolling, and we have them on film. And just two nights ago, we have this place on the ranch. If you park your car there, it drains your battery. I don't know why, but everybody that parks there, you come out a few hours later, and your battery's dead. So it's kind of like that Skinwalker Ranch. We have some pretty strange things here, but it's mostly positive. We don't have any real high strangeness. It's weird, but it's benevolent. And
why then are there so many reports that come from people who have had one contact, a form of contact or another, and more than not, it's negative?
I think the main problem is that the positive experiences don't get any press. It's like, you know, they say that, you know, the lie can travel, you know, twice around the world before the truth has time to, you know, tie its shoes.
Boy, and that's no lie.
Yeah, and everybody really wants to capitalize on the fear and suspense. And, you know, Hollywood gets billions of dollars to, you know, work off of that. So it's kind of sad. All the movies are programmed negatively. And even here in this area here, there was a lot of contacts even before I got here. And each case, when you read the encounter, the people either jumped in their car and sped off or they ran. And nobody really had the courage to just stand and say, what's up, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, why are you here? And that's what I've been doing, and I've been helping others to diminish the fear so they can actually have a closer experience. You know, it changes your life totally. When you see something, you know, just from a distance, it puts you in a state of shock almost. And when they start coming in really close, I mean, people just freeze. You know, it takes them a while to come out of it.
Well, again, Steve Greer, Dr. Greer, has mm-hmm. been using flashing lights, other things to attract them, to cause them to come closer, to initiate contact. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing that for years, and it works. And it's kind of the same sort of thing you're doing. You're using, you said, lasers.
Yeah.
So would you recommend that to an individual, aside from intent? Mm-hmm. You know, you want contact. You're trying to rise to a higher level. I can buy into all of that. And then these flashing lights are things that you do to attract them. As the caller in the first hour I had, he said suddenly it came closer. That's mm-hmm. no surprise to you, I guess, right?
No, we do that constantly. You know, we use lights or lasers, or it's, you know, mainly they know what's going on. If they're so advanced, they just scan your consciousness and they know what you're up to. But the flashing lights are giving them a signal that, hey, you know, I want an experience. I want to see this closer. You know,
maybe so it's just more. It's just part of the intent. You're demonstrating something. So,
mm-hmm. Well, Stephen Greer actually came out here and he did his training. The ambassador training here. And we filmed three large triangles, and we lost count on how many ships came in. There's probably 30 ships came in while he was here. So he's very well aware of the activity here, and his group is as well.
Okay. You've got a place where things are going on. Are people able to come to your ranch? I know you can't have giant mobs descending on you.
No.
But what do you do when people, you know, send you email, phone you, whatever they do to get in contact with you and say, look, I want the experience. I want mm-hmm. to come and see for myself.
Well, it depends. We have just three rooms that we have for rent here if people want to come up, you know, and spend some time here. But a lot of people camp, and I recommend camping. You know, we just had an event here in August, and we had over 400 people here. And I actually built a conference building to have, you know, the speakers come. And one of the main reasons I built this place is because I was being censored everywhere else, you know.
Censored?
Yeah, pretty much. You're well aware of this in the UFO community. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of, you know, backstabbing.
Oh, yes, there is.
And when somebody comes by and they really have the goods and they really can go interdimensional and bring out, you know, a lot more of the truth, you might say, there's just a lot of jealousy and a lot of problems that come out from
okay, how much of that have you run into? How much jealousy and anger and backstabbing and problems have you run into because of what you're doing?
I would say a lot. I would say much more of that than the positive, you might say. Lately, it's changed, though, because a lot of the things we're doing were way ahead of their time, and people are catching up now. So there's a lot more support in this. And what's sad is that the majority of the people are really good people. Anywhere, wherever you go, just the But when you move up the echelon into the higher levels or the other people that have a gig that they have going, you know, and they want to focus mainly on nuts and bolts or on abductions or they want to make everything evil, all those groups, they get very upset when you step on their toes and you say, look, there's a lot more going on. There's something far beyond, you know, this scenario. And so it's
why do you think ufology eats its young this way?
You know, I gave a talk at the International UFO Congress there in Laughlin, Nevada, and that was one of the subjects I brought up. And, you know, I told everybody, I said, nobody has the whole pie here. We all have a piece of the pie, and we're never going to get to the bottom of this until we put the whole pie out on the table and learn to cooperate and get along. And I got a standing ovation there, you know, just by saying that, because people are tired of it. People are saying, look, you know, how are we going to get along with these beings that are so much different than we are, and we can't even get along with each other? And it's very sad when you think about it because, you know, like the photos I put on your site, some beings look like we do, and then if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see another being there that has a robe and his face looks pretty bizarre looking, and he's a very ancient one, very wise. And, you know, these beings step out of these plasma fields, they're interdimensional beings for contact. And, you know, most people would see them and would run because they can't sense the energy coming from them. They can't sense that they are extremely wise and loving and very powerful beings. So until we learn to accept, you know, differences that there are, not just different colored beings on this planet, there's different colored beings on other planets, and they, you know, they look, some of them look totally different than we do. Some are very tall, some are very short. You know, there's all kinds of different beings out there.
Here's something I've learned, James. Maybe it'll enlighten you with respect to the flack you're getting, and that is I don't participate in news groups, and the reason I don't is because they always start out with the very best of intentions. No matter what the subject is, it doesn't matter. They start out so well, but inevitably, as time goes on, and this is an absolute golden rule, it's just never broken. Mm-hmm. I don't care how good the topic is for the news group, it degenerates into personal attacks until finally whoever's running the news group can't stand it anymore, then throws somebody off, or throw several people off who are perceived to be causing trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that causes a fight because somebody says, well, that's censorship and you can't do that. Well, the person did it because they finally couldn't stand it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this just happens always, James. So when you get to a topic like ufology, which is already difficult, you're going to get that times 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a chat group that was attached to my website and I canceled it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, that for that proves... very reason, I just said, you know, this is so ridiculous, and I wasn't there to monitor it, and
yeah.
I had people posting all kinds of nonsense on there and fighting and bickering. I just said, you know, you don't deserve this room. I'm canceling it.
People prefer, ultimately, the negative, and until we get away from that, I don't think contact, if it's benevolence, going to happen. I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back. You know, I've got to admit, it's tempting. What James said earlier, it's really, really tempting. It's been a long time since I did an experiment. I wonder if I wonder if we could safely engage perhaps millions of minds and produce a vision in the sky. I wonder if we would target a city, or we'd just we'd go for the whole U.S. It's really something to think about, isn't it? If intent is what drives them, in quotes, and or brings them, then we could sure produce a lot of intent with just one more experiment, couldn't we? I'm trying to sit here and imagine how it could go wrong and reasons why we ought not do it. But if it's just to produce a mass sighting, then maybe. We'll be back in a moment. All right, let's play with the idea a little bit. James, if we decided to do an experiment, if we decided to attempt to engage perhaps millions of minds toward producing a really big event in the sky, would you target a specific area? Would you just send out a sort of a general message of intent that we're ready for a big show, or how would you do it? I'm curious. If we were to do such a thing, how would you want it done?
I'd do it globally and then just watch the internet for all the reports to come flying in. I mean, it's just going to be exponential. I know they've been telling me between November and December there's just going to be no more doubt whatsoever. I mean, you'd have to be either in total denial or total ignorance to not know what's going on, because they're going to be seen everywhere.
Do you think there would be a response to something like that?
You know, definitely I do. If people went out there and just meditated and went out and had some clear skies and just put the intent out there that, you know, send as loving thought as you can and put it out there and just say, you know, help. You know, I really want to experience this.
Yeah. Do you see any downside to this?
I don't anymore. In the past, that was a possibility, but now there's anything negative is being very monitored and watched, and if it's here at all, most of it's been given eviction notice, you might say. So.
Well, you remember the movie and all those people at the top of the building welcoming the aliens who got fried?
Yeah, there goes Hollywood again, you know.
Yeah, well, a potential downside. I mean, are you sure enough that the mass number of visitors that we have right now are benign or have our best interests in mind?
You know, I have no doubt. One of the things that we have to realize is, first of all, there's nothing we can do about them because they're so far advanced. You know, even our military, they know that. There's nothing we can do about it. And B, if they wanted to do something about us, they would have done it so long ago, because they've been around since, you know, thousands and thousands of years. They're in the frescoes, you know, they're in rock paintings. They're, you know, there's legends that go back, God, I know how many, I mean, what, 400,000 years or so. So, you know, the Chinese talk about them. They're in every culture, you might say. The ancient Egyptians talked about them. The Tibetans talk about them. In the Vedic scriptures, they talk about the ships and the different types of ships. And
you're convinced they appear because of intent.
It is. You know, we have to rise to the occasion if we're going to join the rest of the universe. And if there was a collective consciousness that was trying to rise to the occasion, was initiating this, I'm sure that you would see a definite quickening in what is happening on the planet as far as, you know, the assistance to get us through these times we're moving into.
Are you sure that it would not be better spent focusing on some specific geographic area, or would it you'd rather see it global?
You know, I'd rather see it global. You know, it's kind of what I find with them is trying to control them just doesn't work. And you let them appear to you how they want to appear, and they have much higher oversight than we do. So they'll decide, you know, how they're going to do it and when they're going to do it. It's the same thing here. I've learned that, you know, I want them to come down with my camera and walk on the ship and interview them personally. I mean, that's my desire. And they say, you know, it's not time yet. You know, you'd be surrounded with military. You'd be probably in jail. And, you know, they said it just isn't going to work that way. You have to be patient. It has to be done a little at a time. So if we put the intent out there and send as much love and joy and bliss to them and be sincere and just say, you know, I just want to see a ship. I want to know this is real. You'd be surprised what will start moving around in the heavens or lighting up or you know, sometimes it'll happen when you least suspect it, but it will open the door for that to happen.
I'm really desperately trying to think of what the downside to this might be, because I'm actively considering giving it a try, James.
Mm-hmm. I think the downside is a lot of ignorance would fall on its face. <You
know>? Well, that's certainly not a downside from ufologist's point of view.
Yeah, well, the downside that a lot of newscasters would have egg on their face, and a lot of military people would go, "Damn, now we have to tell them the truth."
That would be if our government has been hiding all of this, and in fact, if at any point the government cooperated with them and allowed them to take, citizens randomly and experiment on them, the repercussions of that would be politically horrible, James, just absolutely horrible.
Well, you know, we have to just move on. You know, that they had their reasons for doing it, and at the time we were, you know, on a war footage, and it was very dangerous times. And
we're always on a war footage.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, you know, hopefully we've evolved far enough to where, you know, we can greet this with a little higher consciousness and civility you know, not be so primitive this time.
All right. I might give this a try, James. I'm going to allow a little time to pass, a day or so. I want to get some emails. I want some, there's a lot of good intellects out there, and it's been a long time since I've done one of these experiments. And if it could go wrong, I want to know how before I do it. So, folks, I am actively considering this. I really am, because not only James, but Stephen Greer, others who have had frequent contacts with UFOs, who have actually almost produced UFOs on demand for witnesses, good, reliable witnesses. It's all in intent. And what are our experiments if not intent? So I would like to know, anybody willing to email me on the downside of this and the reason why I ought not do it, do it now or forever hold your peace. I'm Art Bell at mindspring.com or artbell@aol.com. So, James, I may give this a shot. And I don't do it lightly. So so we'll see what happens. I'm going to want a report from you and, of course, reports from everybody else as well. But if they're really out there in force, and I guess you're convinced there are many, many craft. Is that correct?
Oh, there's flotillas out there. They're, you know, they've seen thousands of craft in the air in Mexico, all in one sighting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're actually jockeying for parking space right now. So, you know, there's quite
jockeying
a few. They're gearing up for a major event here.
All right. Are we able to detect them as our radar? We have these screens. We can track nuts and bolts in orbit around the Earth, that kind of thing. Our governments are well aware of all this, or they escape, they are invisible to that technology, or what?
You know, the governments around the world are very well aware of it, and a lot of radar is, you know, the I don't know what you'd call it, footage or the reports or radar are being released right now where they have followed these. Now, also, too, the majority of these ships, the higher ships, are stealth, and there's no way we would even know they were there. Nothing shows up on radar, and they'll just be parked right there, you know. So a lot of times there are no radar reports to, you know, coincide with undeniable sightings, and it's because of their technologies. They can they can take their ships and move them out of any frequency, so nothing would be able to grab onto them or just move right through them.
All right. If I do this, James, how would you recommend that I talk to everybody, to the audience, about mm-hmm. how to aim their intent? Just loving, in other words, show yourselves, appear in our skies in a very loving way?
I think the first thing to do is just to settle down in your consciousness and just think of the most loving, joyous, blissful thought you can generate, you know, even if it's an old experience or a memory.
Yes.
And then kind of attach that to the intent of wanting to contact. And it's very important that the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you're going to connect. So if you have a lot of fear and a lot of religious training where you think everything's demonic or the devil, or then I wouldn't even participate in this experiment.
Let's go ahead and touch on that. I've had a number of fast blasts about that, and there is that, James. In mm-hmm. other words, you have contact. You have a lot of things that you've produced, a lot of witnesses, but how do you know in the end, James, how do you know that what's contacting you and what you're seeing is not demonic?
Well, mainly because I've had extensive training in this arena, and actually I've had extensive training in clearing any unseen negative influences, you know, which includes any kind of astral beings and what you call the shadow people, you know, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. I've had many, many years of training in how to both sense that and clear that. And so just due to the overall training and working with lamas and yogis and other masters and even more even Christian-oriented people are moving in that direction. You know, I think Billy Graham calls them God's other angels. And mm-hmm. Catholic Church now is saying these are not to be demonized. You know, this is just the greater family of man, and it gives, you know, better credence to the magnificence of God, you know, of the Creator, that, you know, creation extends far beyond the earth. So most of the religious factions, other than some of the, you know, we have fanatics, not just, you know, in the Muslim countries, but we have them right here on, you know, in good old America as well. And you know, there's not too much you can do about that because, you know, they're seeking the devil. They're seeking the negative. And that's, you know, I tell them, they said, how do I know? You know, they'll ask me, how do we know you're not working with the devil? And I said, well, the devil's not even in my mind. You're focused on the devil, you know. Mm-hmm. Constantly, and so that's your experience. It's not even part of my reality. I don't.
If we sent out a giant blast of intent, which is what I'm contemplating, James, mm-hmm. How quickly do you think it would be reacted to?
Probably almost immediately. You'd start to see things. You'd start getting all kinds of emails from people that, you know, mainly if people walked outside to clear skies and did this and put the intent mm-hmm. out. And just looked up in the sky for something anomalous to either power up or flash at them or start moving, you know, and it may come as close as you're ready to have the experience. You know, they'll scan you and say, well, this person's ready. You'll start having almost immediate call-ins. Just doing what we're doing right now with this going out to, I don't know, what, 15 million listeners. Mm-hmm. People are already thinking about this. It's in their mind.
I know.
And they're learning that, hey, there's a greater family of man out there that loves us, that wants us to get through these times, that's here to help us. Just knowing this is making that a possibility. It's giving them the reference points to start thinking about this and looking up and start, trying to experience this greater family of man. And that alone is going to help generate, you know, this reality.
All right, James, let's try it. And let's try it at the top of the hour. What I'm going to ask people to do is when we break here at the top of the hour, if you're able to go outside, that's fine. If the weather is nice and you feel like stepping out on your porch or stepping out into your yard and taking a look at the sky, that's fine. But what I really want everybody to do, beginning at the top of the hour and until we get back, is turn your radio off. At the top of the hour, it'll take us, what, about 9 minutes, 8, 9 minutes to get back, and that's long enough. I'd like everybody to just sit back, relax, clear your mind. As James said, perhaps contemplate an experience in your life that was joyous, that was happy. One of the happiest moments in your life. That'll be fun anyway. It's always kind of fun to sit back and relax yourself, remembering something that brought joy to you. Perhaps the day you had a child or the day you got married or whatever joyous occasion happened to you. Contemplate that so you're in a good mood. And then for as many minutes as you're able, combine that with a intent, a directed intent to them, whoever they are, to show themselves in our skies. We'll leave it at that. Show themselves in our skies. And if you want to go outside, there's going to be millions of other people doing this with you, folks. So if they're reactive, and certainly there's every reason to believe that intent is what does the trick, then we should be able to produce craft in our skies. Now, when I say our skies, that means the world's skies. It may, in your case, mean the skies directly over you or near you. So let's give it a try. It's a Saturday night. People should be in a good mood. And we have millions of people who can direct intent, very strong intent. And that means closing your eyes, getting in the mood I described, and then combining it with a very, very strong invitation to show themselves in our skies. It's worth a try. Let's see what happens. So we'll do that coming up at the top of the hour, James. There's an experiment for you, buddy. What do you think?
That sounds awesome. Made my evening.
Okay. I thought about it, and we're only asking for a kind of a show in our skies. So I'll do it. I'll go out and give it a shot myself, James, beginning as we break here at the top of the hour. I don't frequently ask people to turn their radios off. Believe me, it's the last thing a talk show host wants to do, but this is worth a shot. And then we'll see, I suppose, over the next days or even hours, if something happens. How about that?
Sounds awesome. I think it's going to be an incredible experiment.
Mm-hmm. It will be. I don't know if it will occur right away, if it will occur as we direct the intent, or if there'll be a delayed reaction by a few days. But I would say if anything massive should occur in either tonight or in the next few days, then we can probably chalk it up as another success. Have you ever done anything of this sort? Well, you've done it on more of a minor scale, right?
Yes, much more minor scale. And you know what's funny? Every time I've come on the show here, we've had Sky Watchers out there, and sure enough, we have some big ships drop right in, nice and low. The only problem is that nobody filmed it. They were just in shock. And I've been doing this for so long, I always get them on film. If I'm there, I get it. But a lot of the other people don't even lift their camera up for the first, actually 30 seconds to a minute or even more.
Well, it's shock. If you happen to be lucky enough to have a camera with you, and I'm not suggesting that anybody out there, I'll tell you what, if you want to have a camera close by, fine, and maybe we'll get some photographs. But what I'm really after is a massive, massive number of sightings. Mm-hmm. So, James, I guess you're going to help us, right? You're going to be there yourself doing
it? Definitely. I've already put it out.
All right. We're coming up on the break. James, hold tight right where you are. Everybody else, you now have your assignment. We're going into break in about 20 seconds here, so I want you to relax, get yourself in a great mood. If you're able to, be outside safely. If not, where you are is just fine. You want to produce, remember, some joy in your life, get in a really good mood, and then blast out all the intent you've got inside you for them to show themselves in our skies. I will be participating with you. From the high desert, invitations going out right now. I'm Art Bell.